Hey everyone, welcome back to part four of my little series on the greatest meditation myths that are out there. This is the final myth that we're going to cover here. And this myth is that meditation is about sitting down quietly.
This is a Deep Psychology podcast. I'm Ross Edwards, author, coach, podcaster, and avid practitioner and teacher of psychology and spirituality. In listening to this podcast, you're part of the worldwide deep psychology community of tens of thousands of people undertaking profound personal transformation. You can find me on Spotify and Apple, where I release new episodes every Thursday. If you dig what I do and want to help the show grow, share this with a friend and leave a review. You can also go deeper with this work by training with me at deep-psychology.com. Let's get started.
So I thought I'd get outside today because I just submitted two book proposals to different publishers and I've been in my head all morning getting those ready and it's been quite intense. And it's also very pleasant here in Spain. There might be some insects that you can hear because after all in Spain there's an abundance of wildlife at this time of year. But I hope you also enjoy the background noise. So this myth about meditation being about sitting down quietly. So this one is possibly the one that is most grounded in reality, I suppose. Because, listen, when you start out as a meditator, it will be about sitting down quietly. That's part of the initial work that you have to do, is just to sit down quietly. And it's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard to maintain concentration. You might feel antsy. You might feel uncomfortable. The act of sitting still for a while might not be very familiar to you. And so part of the early learning stages in meditation are learning just to do it, sitting down, and just getting used to that and developing the most fundamental skills that you need on your meditation path, okay? And listen, if you look up photographs of meditation, or you see images of people meditating, what you'll usually find is people sitting down with their legs crossed, with their eyes closed, in either nature or in a quiet, simple room, for example, right? So this is part of the kind of archetypal image or stereotype of meditation, is sitting down quietly with no distractions, right? So this is grounded in reality, because when you start out, that's pretty much all you can do. And it's an important thing to do, and it continues to be important right the way through the meditation path. However, right, and this is an interesting thing that happens with meditation, and it's something that most people are ignorant of, and most people simply do not reach this stage where this starts to happen. But in my classes and with my students, I actually teach them from day one to start bringing this in and trying to make it happen from day one, because I think it's just so crucial. So what am I talking about? Well, let me paraphrase one of my main meditation teachers, Shinzen Young. He said, basically, it goes along these lines. I can't remember exactly what he said. I'm paraphrasing. He said that to begin with, meditation is part of your day. But at some point, the whole thing switches around and your day becomes part of your meditation. So meditation is part of your day to begin with, meaning that, you know, it's for a limited period of time, a certain time of day. And once you have completed that period of time, that's it, done, finished. And then you're not going to be meditating until the next day. However, what happens with time is that your day becomes part of your meditation. Does this mean that you're sitting down all day in a meditation posture in a quiet room? Of course it doesn't. We still have to live our lives. But what it means is that the attention skills that you develop in meditation start to just infuse your day, right? And it gets to the point, and I am not 100% there, but I'm well over 50% there, I think, where these skills basically take over, and it basically feels like you're in a meditation state all the time, right? So externally, you know, if people are looking at you, or if you're with people, they wouldn't necessarily know, because you're just doing what everyone else is doing. You're walking, you're talking, you're working, you're, you know, you're on public transport, you're in a coffee shop, whatever you like to do, whatever you need to do, all these usual activities. But the skills are there, right? And the attention is there. And basically, the way it is for me now is that I can essentially meditate whenever I want to meditate. It's not at the point where I'm automatically meditating. I don't know if that's what Shinzen means. I would need to ask him. But what I can tell you is that basically I can meditate whenever I want. It's really just a matter of choice. Sometimes I can go hours without realizing that. And to be honest, a lot of the times it's really not, you know, it's not my focus. It's not really what I want to be doing. If I'm writing a book, for example, I need to put all my effort and energy into that, right? But what I do notice is that I can switch very quickly from being in just a sort of ordinary state to being in a meditative state. And the difference between the two isn't very much. The difference is really just intention. It's just the intention to do a meditation technique as I'm going about my daily life, right? So that's why I'm tackling this myth, because I just think that to have this idea that meditation is about sitting down and to never, ever, ever evolve beyond that is a shame, because if you want to reach the highest levels of meditation, then I think it's just crucial that you bring it into your day and you do this from the very beginning, right? Because the more you train it, the easier it is, and the less of a jump it seems when you really fully grasp the importance of it, right? What it basically means to have this access all the time is that you're much more in control in so many ways that this isn't going to be a long episode, so I can't go into all the detail, but basically in any situation you're in, you have more awareness, you have more sort of control over your mind and body, you have more control over your emotions, you have higher EQ, as they call it, you're more present, you're more awake to what is happening around you. I mean, this is just delicious. For example, if you're out having a meal, you're listening to music, or you're watching a sunset, or you're climbing up a hill and seeing the view, or you're out in nature and you're hearing the sounds around you like I am right now, you can deliberately drop into a meditation technique, deliberately meditating on the sounds, meditating on the sights around you, meditating on the tastes if you're having something to drink or something to eat. And it just enhances the whole thing so much. And the fulfillment you derive from it is so much more than if you are not in a meditative state. And further than that, if you've never meditated in your life. It's true that there is a certain, when you're a meditator, especially if you've been doing it for a few years, your actual baseline level of attention is higher than the average person. And this has been verified by it from sort of different angles, including from the neuroscientific angle. Meditators' brainwave activity is different at rest from the average person, right? But even if that's the case, if you then bring in an actual meditation technique, it just enhances it even more. And the good thing is, the more you do that, the more it becomes effortless, and the more you don't have to think about it. It just happens. And the more that these moments in daily life just become a trigger for you to go into your meditation technique, and it doesn't feel like this huge change. It's just like a subtle shift of intention, really. you have more emotional control because you can bring in your emotional awareness skills that you've developed in meditation into your daily life, into the heat of battle where it really matters. You know, if you're in a situation that makes you feel nervous, maybe you've got to give a presentation, you know, the standard example, if you're going on a date with someone, if you've got a family reunion you don't want to go to for some reason, if you've got a conversation you need to have someone you don't really want to have it with them, if you need to make a phone call, if you need to write an email and you don't want to do it, you know, you've got a tool there that is available for you where you're able to watch your emotions, to feel them fully, to allow them fully to come up. But in doing that, you realize that they aren't so intense, and they lose their intensity, they lose their bite, they lose their power over you, and you're just left in this beautiful open spaciousness, this pure awareness that is free of emotion. It's inherently peaceful and calm and open, and you act from a much wiser place. So you have greater emotional control. And those are just two examples. I mean, I could keep going and keep going and keep going. You just have a much higher level of mastery than I believe the average person does in these fundamental ways when it comes to being present, when it comes to emotions, when it comes to your thoughts, when it comes to interacting with other people. It's just really powerful and invaluable. And I've written several articles about this. You're welcome to have a look, and you're welcome to search through the earlier podcast episodes to find me talking about this stuff more. And you might be wondering, you know, if you've been practicing meditation for a while and you're starting to feel a bit that you're limited by just sitting, the sitting meditation part, or you're just curious, maybe you've never meditated before and you're curious, you know, how does this work? Because it just sounds like such a big jump. And this is how my students react when I tell them, you know, the first time they come to a class or in the first sort of weeks, I tell them that we're going to be practicing in movement and that I want them to practice during their daily life, during their daily activities. They wonder, you know, how does this work? It just seems so far-fetched and so even weird, perhaps. You know, how could you meditate in daily life? It's actually very simple, right? The key is that a good place to start, right, is on a practical level, is to choose one activity in your day that you do more or less on a daily basis, and just to bring any technique, any meditation technique that you've learned that seems to lend itself to being practiced during this activity. So I'll give you an example. Let me say that when I am walking, when I'm out for a walk, I do sight meditation, for example, meditation on the sights around me. I've actually got a guided meditation on that if you want to search for it. And basically, when I'm walking around, once I've, you know, I take a moment to compose myself, and then I start walking. And I'm running the meditation technique as I'm walking around for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and then on, where you can do it for the entire walk, or you can do it for an hour or even more continuously. It's really that simple. Start with one thing. Start with a technique that lends itself really well. For example, walking and paying attention to the sights around you, or running the meditation technique on sights, the sights around you, is very good, because when you're walking, you already have your eyes open and you're already looking at things anyway, right? So the difference is that you're going to do that with a lot more intention and attention than you usually do. So you're almost, in a sense, you're almost the act of walking around with your eyes open is almost a meditation. The difference is that when you're actually meditating while you're doing it, you're doing something deliberate. Whereas if you look at how you usually walk around with your eyes open when you're out for a walk, often you're lost in your mind, essentially, right? So that's one example. In this, you can choose anything you like when you're doing housework or chores, as you call it in America, or you're on public transport, you're in a coffee shop, or I don't know, you're up a mountain, you're listening to music, anything, a simple everyday activity, bring a suitable meditation technique into it and do this over the days and weeks and months and years. And you will notice a remarkable jump in your meditation skills. So you start with one activity and then perhaps you do two activities. And then at some point, and I can't give you exact numbers here, it's just something that develops over time and it develops naturally over time. You just have to trust in the process. What happens is that over time, the difference between meditation and non-meditation seems to kind of dissolve, right? And it gets to the point where essentially you can meditate whenever you want and you'll notice that you actually do it spontaneously. For example, I notice when my body, this is probably because I've done a lot of body awareness meditation and I'm writing an entire book about this, I'm 30,000 words in, so it's very relevant for me at the moment. When I'm, say, in a social situation, or when I've got a difficult emotion coming up, or I'm in a conversation that is challenging, when I notice my body is starting to sort of tense up and it's starting to sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm starting to tense up, I'm starting to kind of contort my body, I'm starting to close the body up. What I'll often naturally do is I'll just open and I'll just totally allow all the body experience I'm having at that point just to come up, and I'm just watching it. I'm just watching it come up and disappear, and I'm watching the next wave come up and disappear, and I'm noticing how I'm wanting to close around that, and I'm just opening up, remaining open, stable, symmetrical, right? So that's an example in my life of where it's become, where my meditation technique is now coming into my life and I'm not really urging it too much. There is a deliberate intention, but often it's just an automatic response to the situation, right? Where in this case, I notice my body is closing up, tensing up, and I notice it's not doing me good, right? Because I'm losing presence, I'm letting my emotions get the better of me and so on. And the other people around me definitely feel that when that happens. You can certainly feel when people's bodies close up and they've got unpleasant emotions coming up inside them. So yeah, what I'd encourage you to do is start with one activity, really master it, get to the point where it feels really natural to meditate. At first it won't feel natural, but then you'll find yourself meditating in all kinds of funny situations where you never imagined that it would work and it just feels natural. And you wondered how you ever lived life not meditating in those situations. And then over time, it will just become, the difference between meditation and non-meditation will seem very minimal to you. And who knows, I've only been doing this for 10 years. I mean, it's quite a long time, but imagine another 10 years, another 20 years, another 25 years, 30 years, right? And I'll keep reporting to you if, you know, as I'm progressing on this path, how that goes. But for me right now, it's really, I can switch in very quickly, right? And I wouldn't have been able to do that without all my training. So again, that myth is based on reality. We need sitting meditation. We need to do it in stillness. And I still do it in stillness every day, right? So we need that. But we don't want to be limited to that, especially if we want to reach really high levels of meditative awareness and insight. We really need to bring it into our day-to-day. You know, at some point you have to bite the bullet and say, I need to do this, even though it seems tough. It's like a rite of passage. Once you've gone through the rite of passage, you'll look back and you'll think, why did I not do it sooner? And how did I live my entire life not doing this? Because it just seems like the right way to go about life, essentially. So listen, that brings to an end my little series on meditation myths. There's been 4 episodes this week. Really recommend you go back and listen to the other 3 if you haven't listened to them already. join my meditation group in September. I'd really love to see you there. And join me in August, because I'm going to be doing 31 episodes in 31 days. This feels like a bit of a rite of passage to me. I'm quite apprehensive about it, but I want to give you sort of 31 days of like nuggets of wisdom, let's say. That's how I'm going to approach it and structure it. And it feels like a daunting task, but I'm also just excited to share a lot of things that have been standing around in my mind for months and years now, that often I don't get to share with people, and that sometimes I honestly feel like I hold back from the world. So it's going to be a big explosion of insight, I hope. So tune in. I'll have episodes in the meantime, but starting Friday, 1st of August, 31 episodes, 31 days. Make sure to subscribe to the channel on Spotify or Apple so that you're getting the latest episodes. Thanks a lot for joining me, and I will see you next week for the next episode of Deep Psychology.
Thanks for listening. If you liked this episode, please leave a review and share with a friend. And if you'd like to go deeper, head to deep-psychology.com to join my training. Thanks for joining me, and I'll see you soon.